to us, no matter who it is that may be reading it or talking about it. If they're speaking your words, then it changes our lives when we hear it and apply it. And Lord, we ask that that's exactly what we would do today. We would hear your words and then do something with it when we leave here today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, look, in case you didn't notice, Don's not here. You probably saw on Facebook, I believe he posted on Facebook. I don't know either because I haven't been on Facebook lately, but I'm pretty sure he did. He's got viral bronchitis, which if you know Don, he still tries to come to church, and he would have been here this morning, but it was kind of kicking his butt this morning, so it was better that he probably stayed home and rested. But as usual, he could use your prayers. He obviously doesn't want to stay at home and in bed and resting. He'd love to get back here. So if you think about it, make sure you pray for him. And while I'm thinking about it, your friend, or not your friend or friend card, your Grace News, I totally just have not had a good morning with my brain. And I printed them, and I did not change the scripture reference on the back. So it still says last week's stuff. So what we're really going to be talking about today is Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people, because all sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if by the one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? And the gift is not like the one man's sin, because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation, but from many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification. Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We'll stop there. You guys got all that? Paul's always is interesting. He kind of drives me crazy sometimes because, like, he never puts a period or a comma. He just decides just to, like, throw up all over the page and call it done, you know? And it's sometimes you have to go back and, like, you get three-fourths of the way through his sentence and it's like a whole paragraph and you have to, like, go back and figure out where we started again. This one's not so bad, but he does that quite a bit. This section of Romans is actually one that, if you didn't notice as we went through, there are several like theological terms that gets thrown out. And we talk about them a lot here, like justification, and he goes through several here. But this is a key kind of chapter in Romans that gives us a lot of our theological definitions of some of the terms that we read all throughout, especially the New Testament, which are very important for us to understand, because if we don't understand what justified means or what condemnation is or what any of these other things are, we kind of don't really have a good grasp on everything that Jesus actually did for us and how big it is, how amazing the thing that he did on that cross, and by living this life and living a life of obedience, what that actually means for us as believers. And so this is kind of interesting to go through all of this because it's confusing. Anybody else was confused when you'd like read through it at first? If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. It's confusing. Just Paul's really good at about explaining it in a way that you're like, I'm sure that was good, but I don't know what he said. So we're going to kind of talk about that. He basically tells us that because of Adam and Eve's actions, you and I were born with that sin nature, right? Through that one man came sin for everybody. And I think it's interesting that God, he did it this way. He said, you know, Adam and Eve, they messed up. And so now everybody is punished for it, right? And you'd think, well, that's mean. But what he actually kind of did was set it up for now one man can come and pay the penalty for everybody's sins as well. Instead of having to deal individually, you know, and as somebody was born after Adam and Eve, decide whether or not they were good or bad, although God knew, right? He already knew our human nature. And so, anyways, we were born with that sin nature, and the natural thing for us to do, what that means is the natural thing for us to do as humans is to go against what God wants us to do. So when the world tells us that we're born good and we learn the bad things, they have it backwards, right? We're actually born bad with a bad heart, with a bad mindset, and we have to be taught the good things, right? And taught to want to please God and do the right things. So it's interesting. Jesus, he died for us while we were still sinners. I don't know if you remember a couple of Sundays ago when we were in the first part of Romans 5, that's one of the first things he talks about is while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, right? So he didn't just come and decide to die for those goody-goodies, right? Because nobody's good enough for him to come and die for anyways. He did it because he wanted each and every one of us to be back in that relationship that we had before Adam and Eve decided to do the wrong thing, right? Which we talked about a couple Sundays ago, having peace with God again, right? We have, without accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us, there is no peace with God. We actually have a reason to be scared, right? Because if at any minute we pass on from this life to the next and we haven't accepted that forgiveness, there's bad things coming for us, right? There's judgment, there's condemnation, there's death, eternal death. And the good news is none of us have to pass on from this life and receive any of that, even though we deserve it, right? That's the good news of what Jesus did for us. So that the act of that one man brought sin and destruction and death for all of us. If you notice, he said, even while there was no law, right? So between Adam and when Moses got the law, people still died. Does that make sense? Death, sin had already taken its toll, right, on the world and on people and had destroyed what God had already created as perfect in the beginning. So there's no way around, I love that it's underlined in my Bible because there's no way around the fact that sin equals death, right? That you can't justify it, you can't find your way around it. The only way around it is what Jesus did for us, right? It's the only way. It's why Jesus says, I am the only way, right? So through Adam, we have that one act which caused bad for all of us, but then the good news is we have that one act of the other man, and that brought the opportunity for righteousness for everyone. And as I said, Romans 5, 6 through 8, which was last couple Sundays ago, he says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's interesting, like, think about that for a minute, is nobody has that. If you have that person in your life, and we all probably do, somebody that just drives you crazy, gets on your nerves, maybe it's a next-door neighbor who you just don't get along with, maybe it's a coworker, hopefully it's not your spouse, whoever it is that you're just like at each other all the time, to think about, would you die for them, right? And most of us would be like, nope, you know, if we're being honest. We'd love to be the good person and be like, well, if it came down to it, yeah, I'd put all that aside, but probably not, right? We have too much of that flesh in us that's saying, no way, I'm not even going to, you know, mow his lawn or whatever it is. We all have that person, but Jesus, he was different, right? He had the godly mindset, and he looked at it all, and we were way worse than the next door neighbor who does whatever to annoy us, or the coworker who does whatever to annoy us, or even the spouse that does something to annoy us. We were somebody who spit in his face and said, "I don't want you. Don't want you in my life. Don't ever talk to me." That's basically what we said to him. By continuing to live in a life of sin, we're saying, "What you did for me, don't care. It's good and everything. I don't want it." And anybody ever had that happen? You don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you gave somebody a gift and they just had like this, "I don't want that" attitude about it. Maybe they didn't say it, or maybe they were rude enough that they actually said it. I don't know. We all probably know somebody like that, right? You're giving them something and they were just so ungrateful for it, and it makes you just want to like take it back. That's exactly, can you imagine? Like, God has to deal with that all the time, right? Because he died, he gave a gift, he gave the ability for every single one of us to attain righteousness, right? To no longer have to be punished for our sins and escape. You know, he gave us, Don always, I haven't heard him say it in a long time, used to talk about if somebody was, you know, fallen off of a boat and was drowning. And anybody falling off of a boat and you're drowning, you probably want to be saved, right? So you're yelling for somebody to save you, and they throw you a life preserver. How many of you would be like, "I don't want that life preserver. Bring me a helicopter," or, you know, pick up some random other way to be saved. You'd be grabbing onto that life preserver, right? I always think of the crazy people that have jumped off cruise ships on purpose and they don't make it, because normally people don't know that they've jumped off until it's too late. And there's sharks in the ocean. I don't get in the ocean unless I have to. I'll go like to my ankles. Anybody else like that? Like, there's sharks out there. Unless the water is clear and I can see, I'm not getting in it. So we've been to a couple places where the water was clear. You could get up to your chin and I could see my toes at the bottom. And that's nice. I think Whitney gets freaked out because now you can see the fish that are always swimming around you, you know? So I don't know which is better, to not know and know, or to know and know that they're there, you know? Anyways, if you were drowning, you're going to take whatever help comes your way, right? And it's interesting that as human beings, that's the same scenario we're in. We're all drowning. We're all dying. We're in the middle, about to take our last breath, and the waves are crashing over us. And Jesus has already thrown us the life preserver, and now it's up to us just to grab onto it. Hold on to it. He'll do all the rest of the work. He'll pull us out of the water. If he's got to, you know, breathe life back into us, he'll do it. You know, if we've already swallowed too much water, he'll take care of us, right? And he's going to get us back to where we need to be in order to walk with him. But it takes us grabbing onto the life preserver. And so many people these days, and even people who say that they're Christians, have not really grabbed onto the life preserver because they don't realize. Maybe we don't realize what that truly means, to really take grasp of what Jesus did for us, you know? I don't want to bum everybody out. This is just my personal opinion, but I think when we get to heaven, well, the Bible tells us there's going to be a lot of people that say, "Lord, Lord, you know, why can't I come in, you know? And we did all these great things." And it's going to come down to, did we really know Jesus? Did we really have that relationship? Did we really grab onto that life preserver and hold on for our life, right? Because that's what it is. It's our life that's at stake, and our eternal life at stake. But the good news is, that's all bad news if we haven't accepted that life preserver. The good news is, it's open to anybody and everybody. If you're drowning at the moment, God has a life preserver waiting for you. You just have to look for it, and then you have to grab onto it. And unfortunately, we have an enemy who would love for you not to see it, and not to see it for what it is, right? How many of you, this is silly, but if you were drowning, you fell off of a cruise ship, which would just be really sad because there's so much good things on a cruise ship. If you fell off of a cruise ship and somebody threw you some like 2-year-old floaties, you're still going to be like doing everything you can to squeeze those things on your arms, right? But if you're swimming and, you know, those floaties, in our minds, they're just like, that's not going to save me, right? If God threw you some floaties, though, I think they're going to be strong enough to get you out of the water. The great thing with Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, and that one act of obedience that he did that caused eternal righteousness to be open to everybody, has done something else really cool. And we briefly talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but not only do we have righteousness and we have no more condemnation, which we'll talk about again here in a minute, and a bunch of other things, right? But the biggest thing that comes from it, I think, is new life. Right, we have a brand new start. That moment that somebody is pulled out of the water, that's fallen off of a boat or whatever it may be, and they're laying there. Anybody ever had a near-death experience, and like the next 20 seconds or longer, you sat there just going, like your life flashed before your eyes, and you just had this like ultimate humble moment of what everything's worth. Right, and what really matters, like you just have that moment. I had one of those the other day driving to work, and anybody use like the Waze app? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, it's gives you directions, and I know how to get to work, but if you know the DFW Metroplex, at any moment, there could be some crazy wreck that shuts down the highway, and you're stuck there for 4 hours. So every day, I turn it on just so that I know if something crazy is going on, I know another way to go. And so this was no different. I was going to work. I had it on, and it started making the noise where, like, there was an alternate route available that'll save you so much time. And I looked down to see what that was, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw smoke. And I looked up just enough to see an 18-wheeler who was jackknifed and smoke coming from the tires, and I'm going 70 miles an hour. And I slam on the brakes, which totally locked up, and there was no way I was going to stop. Absolutely no way. And I didn't even have time to check other lanes. I just went for it, right, to the next lane in the moment. And luckily, thankfully, there was nobody there, right, in that lane. And I was able to let off of the brake and go right past that truck. But I literally, for the next, like, 5 minutes, like, I turned the radio off, and I just sat there, like, glazed over, like, that could, like, as I passed, I even kind of looked. It was one of those flatbed 18-wheelers that had this giant metal, like, hook thing hanging on the back of it, which would have been what my car ran into. You know, there's no way I would have survived from it, I don't think, especially because I was driving that little Fiat thing out there. It would have been smashed to pieces, right? So I had this, like, come to Jesus moment again where I'm driving down the highway thinking what's, you know, what's really important in life and all these things. And it's in that moment, right, whether it's just what happens in your daily life, or what I'm really talking about is that person who's been walking away from Jesus or running away from Jesus, and they have that moment where they get to come back to him, and there's that true humility moment where we realize what's important in life, and the most important thing is being right with God, right? In that moment, anybody remember the weight that got lifted off of your shoulders? Maybe it was the condemnation, the guilt that you had been carrying around for years of things that you'd done in your past, or maybe that you had just done, or that you were continuing to do, but that weight was there, and all of a sudden it was lifted in that moment. And unfortunately for us, right, as time goes on, we have a choice on whether we put that weight back or whether we leave it where it just went, which God took it, right? Jesus was holding that weight for us at that point. We all have that choice. And what God wants us to do is, as we come out of that moment and we have the realization of new life in him, that means all things that are in the past from that moment backwards, God's not counting against us anymore, right? Now, it doesn't mean we may still have consequences in this life. Anybody can relate to that. We've done stupid things in our past, and whether it was consequences from the law or the government or even just physical consequences in our lives, every little thing that we do has consequences, right? It's got a negative or a positive reaction to whatever action that we do. And God wants to take that moment that we have of brand new life and have that be a time of where we get projected, if you will, in the right direction as fast as possible, right? I know I've been guilty of it, where I think I've had like 800 come to Jesus moments. Where you're running from God and then you decide to come back, and then it's a true, I decide to come back, and then whatever happens along the way and you find yourself completely back where you were or even worse, and you had to start all over again. And I remember a few years ago, and this does not mean that I'm perfect, so do not take it that way. Whitney can attest, I'm not perfect. But I remember a few years ago, I'm sounding like Don now, a few years ago, to him means like 30. But it was probably like however many years ago. It's because Don's old, if he's listening. I remember the moment that I really had the, like, I'm tired of this game of I'm going to come back to you and accept what you did for me. And then not very long down the road, I'm back where I was. It's like it didn't really mean anything to me. And I remember when I came to that moment of, okay, I'm either going to give it everything. I'm going for this, and I'm no longer looking back. I need to pick one way or the other. And that's the way God looks at it. You're either wholeheartedly following him or you're wholeheartedly following the world. We can't be divided, right? And sometimes it feels like we're divided because that's the flesh and the spirit battling, right? Your spirit, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he's drawing you one way and your flesh is still drawing you the other, that's natural, right? That's going to happen. It's our job to do our part, right, and spend the time that we need to spend in God's word and in prayer and strengthening our faith so that we don't want anything to do with that flesh desire that's pulling us one way. The problem is I think too many of us are fine with that middle ground where we gave our life to Jesus, we accepted what he did on the cross, but we aren't willing to take the next step and like run this direction, run the race, right? We were just fine entering the race. Which, man, that sounds exactly like I entered a 5K. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I'm going to race. I'm in a 5K, you know. And you get out there, and I ran for like 20 feet, and I'm like, why did I do this? You know. We can't be that way in our walk with God, you know. He's wanting us to come to the race with the intention of finishing the race and finishing the race well, right? And that's the way that we have to live our walk with Jesus is I come to him with the full intention of leaving my entire life that I just lived behind me in the past and becoming a new person who has new goals, who has new vision, who has new strength, who has new perseverance, and it's all because we have that new person living inside of us, right? We have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus living in us, and that's our purpose at that point in time. And when I came to that realization and got tired of the game, right, of being disappointed in myself or realizing that I was way far off down the wrong path again, and now I've got to start all over. Nobody likes that. If you've ever done anything in life where you've made progress and then you had to backtrack and do it all over again, there's only so many times you can endure that, right? And then it's just like you give up, right? And that's normal, and that's exactly the plan of our enemy. Yes. Is if I can trip you up enough where you feel like you can't do this, you won't try anymore. And it's the mindset that's the problem. Is if we're focusing on doing it all ourselves, that's exactly what's going to happen because we're still going to fail, right? Anybody else still fail daily, right? We try, we aim for the mark, but we miss the mark. That's what sin is, right? And we mess up sometimes, and that's where God's grace comes in. He forgives us of those things. God wants to get us to that place, that new life, where we're no longer aiming to do the wrong thing, but we're aiming to do the right thing. Hebrews 9:14. Says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works so that we can serve the living God? This is something I had highlighted in my Bible because it goes along with what Paul's talking about of how much more will this work that God did, that Jesus did on the cross, benefit us than what Adam did. You know, Adam did something, it affected all of us. Jesus did something, it's going to affect us all a whole lot more than what Adam's mess up did, right? If we'll accept it. And I like this because the writer of Hebrews is along the same lines, but the last part that he says, that it'll cleanse our consciences from dead works so that we can serve the living God, right? So he did all of this for a reason, so that we could come back to that relationship with God, and our purpose now should be to serve the living God, the one who redeemed us, the one who saved us from our sins, who saved us from the misery of the life that we were living, who saved us from the late nights of sitting up, tormenting the torment that's going on in your mind from the things that you know that you've done that are wrong. All of these things God takes from us. And when he does that, naturally what should happen is we should have a grateful heart, right? We should be so grateful that all we can think about doing is repaying the one who did that for us. And it can't be repaid, right? There's absolutely nothing that we could offer God that is worth what he did for us, but he'll accept us serving him for the rest of our life. He'll accept what he's always wanted, which is that relationship back with us. And it's an uneven trade-off, but God loves it, right? He would want nothing more than for us to make that decision of giving our life to him, truly giving our life to him. You know, we say that term all the time when we talk about salvation, give my life to you, or come into my heart, or all of these things that we say, and they just become another phrase to us because we hear it all the time. But if we really stop and think about it, what we're saying, we have to mean it, right? If I'm going to say I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life, that has to be my goal, and that has to be my intention, is to follow him. And he wants to do nothing more than to help us. And the best way is, to, in my mind, is he gives us a fresh start. It would be worse if we came to him and we said, I accept what you did on the cross. And he's like, all right, but you're pretty far down on the totem pole. So it's going to take you a while to get up to where I can love you again. And then once you get there, then we'll work on some other things. You know, that would be just deflating, right? You'd probably just give up right then and there. But instead, he takes all of us, no matter what we've done, no matter how bad it is, and he says, I don't care about any of that. Here you are, back on a level playing field, and it's open to anybody and everybody. And I love that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're kind of beating this to death, but that should be the happiest news in the world to us, that we get that new life. The old is truly gone, and we need to start adopting, I think, that mindset, because the enemy, I think, has done a really good job. I don't know about you guys, but in my life, has done a really good job of doing what he always does, and he'll sit there and say, but does that count for you? Or does that count for that thing that you did? You know, he's really good at talking us out of what Jesus has told us and what Jesus has actually done. You know, Paul tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. So when something passes away, it's gone, right? It's not coming back, right? Unless it's Jesus raising from the dead, or something that God wants to raise from the dead, which he doesn't want to raise that old life back, right? When it's passed away, it's gone. He says it's passed away. I like that he didn't just say it's in the past. He used the term like it's dead. It's gone. It cannot come back, right? And I think too many of us, me included, are guilty of not believing that. It's almost like we forget that the Bible even tells us that, because the moment that we decide to accept what Jesus did for us on the cross and take that new fresh start, we walk out the doors or we go back into our real world, and we're back at work or we're back at home or wherever it is, and the enemy starts, you know, chirping to us again, bugging us again about the things that we have done, and tries to drag us back down to that level, which is way down there, right, that God has redeemed us from. He's dragged us out of that pit, and he's put us back up where he wants us. And we believe all of that, and we never allow God to do the work that he fully wants to do in our life. Because I don't know if you realize, but every day, God has something he wants to do in our lives. He has something maybe he wants to clean up. He has something maybe he wants us to learn. He has something he wants us to do, somebody he wants us to talk to. He's constantly working, and it's for our good, and it's for the good of those that we may be affecting, right? And if we're not looking for that, and we're not aiming for that, to be changed, to be molded daily by him, then the opposite happens, right? We get stale. We start to believe that all we're hearing now is the lies of the enemy, and we start to fade away, and we find ourselves right back in our past, which is supposed to be dead, right? You know, thankfully, we've been justified, right? When Jesus died on the cross for us and we accepted what he did on the cross for us as punishment for our sins, he looks at us just as if we had never sinned, right? That's what, when we see justified, we can replace it with just as if I'd never sinned. And that's how God looks at us, right? It doesn't mean we haven't sinned. Anybody remember you were a sinner? Yeah, I remember the things I've done. He looks at us as if we had never done it. And no matter how good of a person you are, I don't think any of us can do that, right? When somebody's wronged you, it's hard to look at them as somebody any different than that, right? It's so hard to let it go and to move past it. And God doesn't have that problem. He looks at us and he tells us bluntly, if you've accepted what I've done for you, it's done. It's finished. I threw it away into the sea of forgetfulness. It's not going to be remembered by him. He will never, so remember this, he will never bring it back up and say, look at what you did. If you're hearing that, that's the enemy. Or family, which interchangeable. If that's happening, that's the enemy speaking to you and trying to drag you back down. Now, God may, he may help you remember the things that you've done so that you don't want to go back there. It's not bad to remember where you came from, right? But it's bad to sit there and associate who you used to be with who you are today, a new person in Christ. And we need to take that same mindset. We right now are just as if we had never sinned, and God's mercies are new every single morning, right? We don't have to, you can mess up right now and go to God for forgiveness and have a true repentant heart. That means a heart that's decided what I did was wrong and I need to change. And God, you need to help me because I can't do it on my own. He takes that right there and he says, it's done, right? I'll help you. What I did on the cross, I'm already looking at you as if you'd never sinned. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that peace and how important that is. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. First Corinthians 6:9, he says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Here's the key. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, I think it's interesting when the Bible like lists sins sometimes because we forget that God looks at all sin as sin, right? You could be a liar or you could be a murderer. And in our eyes, one is clearly worse than the other because from a human standpoint, I'd rather be lied to than murdered. I don't know about you. But when there's a list of sins, God looks at it the same, right? That sin is like, it's death, right? He sees death. And when there's sin there, no matter how small, no matter how big, he wants to remove it. He wants to get rid of it. He wants it out of there because he knows what it's actually doing to us. You know, I've brought it up before. If you found out that you had cancer, if you found out you had a tiny little spot of cancer on you, how many of you are going to be like, man, it's not bothering me, I'll just leave it, Anybody? No? Right? You're like, how quickly can we get this gone? And what does this mean? You're like asking all kinds of questions. You want to know how quick can we get rid of this, right? And you don't care how much it costs. You don't care. You want it gone, right? And that's the mindset we have to have with the sin in our life. It could be a small little sin in our mind, right? It's small, it's tiny, and that's the compromise that the enemy tries to get us to make. It was just a small sin. God will overlook that. Will he? Anybody? God, I think if we're talking about sin and trespass, I think if you messed up, you were aiming for the mark, and you messed up, God forgives those, right? When you have the right heart. If you were out there and you saw the sin and you decided not to do anything about it, now what is it? It's trespass, right? Those are the kinds of things that God wants to change in our life, starting with the inside. And a lot of it can happen immediately when we come to him and he changes. I don't know about you. I had several things that the moment I accepted what he did for me on the cross and it meant something to me, I had a lot of attitudes and a lot of just things that I didn't want to be around, I didn't want to hear, that just instantly changed for me. Anybody else have some things that instantly changed? And one of those things you'll find is actually that you realize the sin in your life again. Because you, depending on how far you had walked away from God, or maybe you had never accepted, never even knew about God, you get to a place where you don't feel guilty about doing things. And that's a scary place to be, isn't it? You're doing something super dangerous, and there is no fear. Anybody seen those videos on? I've seen them on Facebook, but they're on YouTube, of these guys. They're like my age, and they're going all around the world, and they're up on, like, I don't even know how tall, 800-story buildings, and they're walking on the edges, and they're doing backflips, and they're like jumping and grabbing onto the edge and pulling themselves back up, and all on camera. Right? So they have no fear. There's no way I'd even think about going up there, much less standing on the edge or laying down or all the crazy things they're doing. If you've seen it, it makes you like tense up the whole time you're watching it. You're like, I can't watch this anymore. You have to change it. That's a dangerous place to be. Anybody agree? You have no fear because that one little slip and they're gone, right? And that's, once again, the same mindset we have to have in our life. If we're at a place where there's no guilt, there's no fear even of doing this means bad things, then we have gone way far the wrong direction. And that moment that we come to know Jesus again, he kind of wakes something up in us, in our spirit, that reminds us how dangerous those things are, right? It reminds us, even those little things, that the second you go to maybe say a little white lie, you have that urge in your spirit again that says, you shouldn't do that. You know, it's something that is woke up inside of you that's been dead for a long time. And it's through that we can decide, once again, lots of decisions for us all the time, right? Every day we have to decide whether we're going to listen to that voice, which is the Holy Spirit, or whether we're going to ignore it. And this is the cycle that I was talking about earlier that I was stuck in my life, was I would accept what Jesus did and that voice would start talking to me again, and that's exciting, but then I'd get to that one thing that he said, you probably shouldn't do that, and I'm like, well, I want to do that, you know? And then you do it, so you ignore the Holy Spirit, and then now it's a little bit harder to hear him, and it's a little bit harder to hear him, a little bit harder to hear him, till you're not hearing him anymore. He's still talking to you. He's still trying to pull you. He's still trying to get you to come back where you need to be. But we have blocked him off. You know, I use the analogy all the time of literally building a wall. If I built a concrete wall right here in front of us, the taller it got, the less you're going to hear me, the less I'm going to hear you, until it's sealed off and you don't even know I exist anymore, right? And that's the way we are with God. Every little sin, every little tiny compromise is another brick on the wall, right? And eventually it gets so tall that we are the ones mad at God because we can't hear him and he's not talking to us. And why aren't you giving me direction? And the truth is, we're not listening, right? He's talking to us. We need to get back to that place where we were, if maybe you've been running from God, that new creation, that starting point, day one, right? We need to get back to day one and that mindset that we had on that day of the excitement of wanting to follow God and wanting to hear what he has to say to us. And the joy that we had to get up and to read our Bibles and to pray and to spend time with him. That's all stuff that we let the troubles of the world kind of squeeze out of us, right? And we start focusing on all kinds of other things until those things aren't as important anymore. And then it's just a downward spiral, right? The more that we spend time on other things other than talking to God, the less important he becomes in our life. And that's a dangerous place that God doesn't want any of us to be. And thankfully, we have his grace. We have his mercy. He's walking with us every single day to keep us from going down those paths, right? We can listen to that voice and he'll direct us, no, don't do that. Do this, you know? And that's where God wants us to be. John 3:17, he tells us, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, that's been God's plan the entire time, has been to save all of his kids from being separated from him for eternity. It's been the plan since literally day zero, right? From before we were even thought of, he already had a plan in order to bring us back to him and to that relationship. I've talked about it before, but I don't know how you were if you were running from God, but I believe God hated me, right? I believed the lie so much that I didn't even think God wanted me anymore. And the opposite is the truth, right? God has not wanted anything more than to have that love relationship back with you and with me. And as I said, he's been doing things since day one to try and pull you and direct you and persuade you to come back to him, and that's the right thing. The downside is we have an enemy who wants to jump all over us every single day and bring that lovely friend of his, condemnation, into our lives. And if you don't know condemnation, the difference between condemnation and conviction, right? The Holy Spirit, he'll speak to us when we're doing something we shouldn't or about to do something we shouldn't. He's convicting us. He's saying, that's a bad idea. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. And condemnation is, it's a court term, right? You're being condemned to however long in prison. God's not going to condemn us until the day of judgment, right? He'll condemn the people who have not accepted what he did on the cross, who don't have that relationship with him, who are still trying to find justification for their sins on their own, which is impossible. Those people are going to be condemned to their sentence, which is death, right? Sin equals death. And in Christ, what does the Bible tell us? There is no condemnation. So if we are that new creation, if we've accepted what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have the Holy Spirit who, yes, will still convict us. The enemy is really good, though, at taking that. And when the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, you shouldn't do that, and you feel that little bit of guilt and that little bit of conviction, if we're not careful, he'll turn that into condemnation in our life, which means we start believing that God is mad at us and hates us because of it. And we start beating ourselves up over it, and we start not listening to God. We start doing the opposite of what we should do. We run from God, when truly conviction, even condemnation, should make us want to run to God, because God, if we read all throughout the Bible, even the Old Testament, we know that God is a loving God who's merciful, who's slow to anger, who's full of compassion and mercy and all of these things. And that's the God. I don't know about you, but if you were in trouble, if you had done something wrong and you had an option, this judge that you'd heard about all the time who was merciful and might give you a lesser sentence and might do, I'm talking about in real life, right? Or you knew about this other judge who was just going to throw the hammer at you, right? And you're going to get max sentence and you had a choice, which one are you going to choose, right? You're probably going to go with the most graceful one and hopefully you don't get what you deserve, right? And we have that option too, right? We have ourselves and the flesh and the sin that's destroying us that's going to bring the harshest condemnation possible. And then we have the God who created everything, who's the judge over everything, who is willing 100% and able 100% to forgive you completely and pretend, if you will, that it never happened. And that's the God I want to go to. That's the judge I want to go to. And we can't let the enemy destroy us in this moment, in this, wherever we're at in our walk with God, into believing that we're being condemned by God, because he's not going to do that right now. He will convict us, right? And the conviction is a good thing because it should lead us to repentance, which then leads us back into a stronger walk with God, right? We listened and we obeyed, and now we're that one step closer of being more faithful. And the next time the enemy comes along and we listen to God and we obey, it gets a little bit easier as you go along. It's building your faith. It's building your walk with God. And if we don't get past those infant stages, the enemy will continue to trip us up. The only way to get past it, listen and obey, right? Listen and obey what God's telling us to do. So through what Jesus did for us, through that new life, through that cleansing of our conscience, is when we've been truly reconciled with God. We've been brought back to that relationship in the garden, like the relationship we had in the garden. And we can now go boldly into the presence of God when we've done something wrong. You know, Don's mentioned this a million times, and we don't have time to go into it a whole lot. But we all have either good examples or bad examples of fathers in this life. You know, some of us had terrible dads and some of us had good dads. And so it's hard for us to use this comparison not knowing where everybody is. But just know that God is not like your dad on this earth, even if you had a good dad. He's infinitely better than that. And especially if you had a bad dad, he is nothing like that, right? But any good parent, if your kid came to you and they were, you could tell because you know your kid that they're being honest, they're being truthful, they're being open about something that they had done wrong, and they were sorry about it, and they were truly coming to you for help, if you will, on not wanting to be that kind of person, how many of you are just going to beat them right then and there? Anybody? Probably not, right? Doesn't mean that they may not get consequences for something that they did. It may mean that the consequences are probably different than they would have been had they not had that repentant heart, right? But there's probably still consequences. But the good thing is that good parent is going to handle that situation in a way where there's grace and there's mercy and there's direction and there's guidance and there's all kinds of things that are important for that child who decided. There even needs to probably be some praise in there for the child coming to you in that way to know that that's how you repent, right? Whereas a bad parent is just going to not care. And they're going to, you did what? And the kid no longer understands the concept of having the right heart, right? And God's not like that. He is not like that parent at all. Even good parents today in this earth, we mess it up all the time, right? Your kid could come to you in that way and emotions kick in and whatever it is, because we're human and we may react the wrong way. And God's not that type of parent. He's the type of parent that no matter what we have done, literally, does not matter. If you come to him with that type of mindset and that type of heart of truly being sorry and wanting help so that you aren't that person anymore, he has the perfect plan to get you from where you're at to where he knows that you can be. And it's through that relationship, coming to the Father, right? Going to him when we need help. And when is that? All the time, right? We always need his help. And if when we understand that and we truly come to him with everything, there's new life, there's peace, there's grace, there's compassion, there's some learning curves, right? But it's all good for us. And that's what God wants us to understand, is through him, we have the best. You're not going to find new life anywhere else. You're not going to find true forgiveness. You're not going to find a fresh start anywhere else. You could up and move to another part of the country or anywhere in the world and change your name and do all kinds of things. In your mind, you still know who you are and you still know the things that you've done, and the enemy still knows who you are and the things that you've done, and you can't run from it. And that's a nightmare, right? But the God that we serve can wipe all of that away. That's amazing, right? He can come in, he can clear your conscience, he can clear your mind, he can clear your heart, he can clear all of these things that's just not possible on a human level, right? It's totally a spiritual thing that he can come in and wipe those things away and give you a fresh start. And I don't know anybody who would, when they fully understand that, wouldn't be interested in that, right? And that's the point, is God wants to get, if you're here today and you're that person that's been skeptical of what God did for you and what he has to offer for you, I hope that you understand the magnitude of what he's done for you and wants to do for you, and that maybe today will be that turning point for you where you decide,
I want that new life. I want that fresh start. I want all of these good things that God has for me. And I hope that through our lives, maybe anybody who's understood that and is living that out on a daily basis, that we will truly shine God's light where people can see that good thing, right? They can see that who you used to be, you're not that person anymore. And it's because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's attractive. That's going to attract the people who need to be attracted to Jesus, which is everybody. It's not the other way that we go about doing it, on pointing fingers and telling people what they've done wrong. The Holy Spirit can do that in a gentle way that gets people to that place that they need to be, and we need to leave that in His hands. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank You that no matter what we've done wrong in this life, and You know exactly what we've done and to the magnitude that we've done it, and Your word still says that if we come to You, You'll wipe all of that away, that You will forgive us of all of our unrighteousness, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And Lord, I ask that today, if we're sitting here and we've been struggling with that, that we know we have things in our life that You don't approve of, that we don't even approve of, that we know is destroying our life, it's destroying relationships, it's just destroying, because that's what sin does. Lord, I ask that You would truly speak to our hearts this morning, that You would urge the ones that need to be urged to make today the day that we say, enough is enough. I want the fresh start. I want the new life. I want today to be my new birthday, of the day that I came back to that relationship with You. I started that new walk and came back to that relationship that You've always wanted. If that's you this morning, if you're here and God's been tugging on your heart about this, doesn't matter where you're at, you could have been running all your life from God, or you could be running just the last couple of days from God. God wants you back. And if that's you, I'd love for you to slip your hand up. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Yeah. Yes. Anybody else this morning before we pray? Yes. Lord, we thank You so much that what You did on the cross didn't have to be done, but You loved us so much. You looked into the future and You saw each and every one of us, and You said, I have to go to the cross for that person. Because You loved us so much, You went through everything that You went through on the cross. You took the punishment of our sins and the separation from God so that we didn't have to, Father. I thank You so much for that. Lord, I thank You that You've given us the opportunity to step into that new life. I thank You that not only today, but tomorrow, if we mess it all up, You'll give us another chance, Father, that You're a forgiving and gracious God. But today, You're speaking to us, and You're with open arms welcoming each one of us back to that relationship with You, with smiles and hugs and laughter. It's not a sad day, it's a joyous day, because we have stepped away from that person that was destroying our life and into this new person that's walking with You and giving us life. Lord, once again, we just thank You so much that You just love us. No matter what we do, Your love just shines so much brighter. As our text today said, that when sin increases, Your grace just increases more and more and more. And Lord, we ask that this morning You would just help us to grasp that. That if we truly lean back into You and stop trying to do it on our own, Your grace will carry us. We thank You for all of this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll stand up and sing one more song with us this morning.